97.3 Richmond's Independent Radio. You just heard a brand new track from David J. This is off of his latest record, Not Long for This World. The song was called Hank Williams to the Angel of Death. And before that, I played a couple David J. tracks. I played The Promised Land. I also played No New Tale to Tell from Love and Rockets album Earth, Sun, Moon. And also in there, I played The First Incision. And that's off of Crocodile Tears and the Velvet Kosh. All right, so you're now up to date here on WRIR, Richmond's Independent Radio. My name's Mike Rutz, and joining me here in the studio, I'm very excited to have David J. How are you, David?
A little road-worn, but soldiering on.
You said you came from New York today, and you're going back up north.
We go to Boston tomorrow.
Okay.
We've come over from Portland. Well, Adrian and the band did. I'm being backed by Adrian H. and the Wounds, who are a very fine combo out of Portland, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
I came from San Diego, and we met in New York City.
Okay. And how did you meet Adrian? When did you all start
collaborating?
It was a chance
encounter. I was filming a pilot for a TV show, the location was Bar Sinister, which is a club in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd done all the filming, it'd been a long day, and I was about to leave. It's adjacent to a famous bar, Bordner's Bar. And I went to go out the front door, and this big crowd came in. So I thought, oh, I'll go around the back. So I went through the back way, and Adrian was playing. And it just like, they just stopped me dead in my tracks, and I loved the band. And I stayed and met them. And then a couple of months later, I was approached by a promoter in Portland who wanted me to do a gig up there, and he said, the support band is Adrian H. and the Wounds. And I said, well, that's great, I really like them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I approached them and said, no, do you want to just like stay on there, stay up on the stage and back me? So that was the first gig. We played this club called The Fez.
Okay.
And since then, we've been playing together on and off.
Outstanding. So they're backing you through the whole tour that you're on right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's just a week. It's just on the East Coast.
Okay.
Six dates in a row.
Okay. And the show tonight is at Fallout. It starts around 9 o'clock. And you do have your latest record. You just handed me Not Long for This World. I want to talk about that just briefly. It came out last year.
Late last year. Yeah.
It's your first solo album in 8 years, and you described it as an accidental concept album. So tell me why it's an accidental concept album.
Because I wasn't planning to make an album about mortality.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't planning to make a concept album as such, but I was invited to do two nights at this club called The Cavern Theater in LA, and I wanted to make it a themed show, you know, something different to just an ordinary set. So I came up with this idea of dividing the set into three sections and basing those sections around the title of an old song called Bouquets, Rhys, and Laurels. So the bouquet section was love songs, Rhys was death songs, and then there was one song of glory, which was the laurels. But I retained some of the songs from those two gigs in my set, and then recorded a bunch of the Rhys songs. And so they were just sitting on the shelf, and I wasn't sure what to do with them. And then the more I thought about it, I thought, well, they turned out pretty well. Perhaps I can just go with that theme, you know? And then that's how it sort of bloomed from there.
Okay. All right. And one of the songs we played was a song about Hank Williams. And you have a three-song triptych on the album that is based on the lives of three men: Hank Williams, writer-actor Spalding Gray, and Jeff Buckley, all of whom died under tragic circumstances. So tell me why you chose those three men and how they tie together.
Well, Hank Williams, that was very spontaneous. And originally that track was just going to be an instrumental. And it was a... We made it up on the spot in the studio. Myself, actually, my son plays on that.
Mm-hmm.
He plays the Moroccan pipes on that, and through a bunch of effects pedals. And my friend Marcelo Radulovic does the electronic stuff, and I play the bass. And then Marcelo said, "What about some vocals on this?" And I said, "Well, I don't have any lyrics, and I didn't bring any lyrics." And I just looked around his studio, and he's a fan of Hank Williams, and he had the complete works. So I just pulled down this big tome from the shelf and just went through at random and just picked lines, you know, and just wrote them out.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, as you heard them, that's how I wrote them out, that sequence. And I, as soon as I finished it, I looked at it and I got this idea. It's like this sort of delirious, it's like Hank in the back of the car dying. And he's having this conversation with the Angel of Death, the Angel of Death being one of his songs. But that was the idea. And it's a kind of prayer and it's him just passing on.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, just let's record this straight away. I don't want to think about it. You know, just do it. And that was, so that was the first take. So it just kind of spontaneously emerged.
Okay.
Jeff Buckley, I get these invitations, which is nice. I was invited to do a Jeff Buckley tribute in Pittsburgh. And different artists were coming and performing Jeff's songs. And I wrote that for that occasion. Wrote the words, mm-hmm. and then I got together with my friend Damien Youth, who's an amazing musician songwriter, who was also performing and wrote a song for Jeff that night, and we collaborated on the music. So that's how that came about.
Okay.
Actually, Jeff's mum was there during the performance, so I was kind of in two minds about that, because you know it gets into some nitty gritty areas and talks about his father and.
Mm-hmm.
But she came up afterwards and she gave me the biggest hug and I could feel her tears running down my own cheeks.
Oh, wow.
So that was a nice affirmation. Yeah.
And then Spalding Gray, how does he fit into this?
Spalding Gray, that came through a musician, George Serra, who's based in LA, he combines electronic music with strings, real strings. And he wanted me to write a lyric and do a vocal for his recording. He was making this album, so he just gave me the music, and it was just after Spalding Gray his body had been discovered in the river, and I was a big aficionado of his, and that really affected me when I heard that.
Mm-hmm.
and the lyric just kind of bubbled up, as these things do, and I recorded a version with George, which has actually just been released. My version came out before his. But I just wanted to do my own version of it and have a very different approach, which is very much more organic and with violin, a great violinist, Issan Spevak on that. And in fact, everybody is great on that. And Damien Youth plays on it as well.
Okay. And you said your son plays some parts on, at least on the Hank Williams song. Is he playing on other parts of the album?
No, just on that track.
Okay. Does he play in a band too?
He has on and off. I'm teaching him to play bass, and he's quite good.
Okay. All right, outstanding. So let's talk about a couple other things that you know you're a very busy man. You wrote and directed a play called The Odyssey of Edie Sedgwick a few years back. Have you done any more writing for theater, or have you done any film scores lately?
I'm evolving that play, the Edie Sedgwick play. I've just written a new song for it.
Okay,
and it's actually become the new title, which is Privileged. It's Privileged. The Odyssey of Edie Sedgwick.
Okay.
And I've got some interest in from some financial backers in bringing it to New York. I mean, ultimately, the dream would be to have it on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
And the way Broadway is going at the moment, it's not too far-fetched as that would have been at one point. But there's lots of like rock musicians getting into theater now, mm-hmm. and even as far as Broadway, you know. So that's of great interest to me.
Okay.
And I wrote another one about the Black Dahlia murder called The Chanteuse and the Devil's Muse. And that incorporated some Buto performance, amazing Buto performer, Evangeline, who played the ghost of Elizabeth Short, who was the victim. But that the whole area of theatre, like multi-dimensional theatre, is of great interest to me, mm-hmm. incorporating film and things like Buto and performance art and music, song cycles and acting all together. It's very fulfilling.
That actually leads me to another question, because you wrote a soundtrack, or what was supposed to be a soundtrack, to V for Vendetta. Long before the movie came out, you wrote it for the graphic novel.
Yeah.
Do you think that that's, you know, where you sort of started, you know, writing, you know, film, how combining, you know, scenes and music?
I think it started before then, because Bauhaus was always quite theatrical, theatrical and visual, you know, and had a strong sense of theatre. I think it goes back. And before Bauhaus, I was doing things just really sort of weird, experimental, punk rock, avant-garde happenings. Mm. With Alan Moore, actually, he was very instrumental in that. A little scene in Northampton, sort of arts lab scene came out of punk. But it was very expansive and incorporated a lot of different artists.
And he was okay with your soundtrack to his graphic novel?
But it was his. He asked me to come up with the music to his lyric to this song, This Vicious Cabaret.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a whole episode in the original graphic novel, which was serialized. And he wanted it to be just the entire text were the lyrics. And he wanted music written in a sort of old sort of vaudevillian cabaret style. And he wanted the music to be transcribed under the panels, which he did.
Okay.
And then I expanded that with the soundtrack. You know, he said, well, let's evolve this and just come up with an imaginary soundtrack. Imagine, you know, if there was a movie of this.
Wow. Okay. And so did it come out on cassette or CD to come out officially?
It was on 12 inch vinyl.
Okay. And I know you can find it. You can also find it online now too.
Yeah.
You can find the MP3s if people are interested, if they have the graphic novel.
Yeah.
Are you currently collaborating with anybody musically? Anybody that you're working with in terms of music?
Well, Adrian and I have got some plans that we can't really divulge at the moment, but we're interested in. There's a couple of projects that we are just starting to sort of explore.
All right. And if you're just tuning in, you are listening to WRIR. I'm speaking with David Jay. Another question for you that I have is actually a personal question about Love and Rockets, because that's how I was introduced to your music.
Mm.
And the song So Alive, of course, when I used to listen to the radio a lot beyond WRIR. Did you guys know that the song would be such a breakthrough? Did you know it was going to be as big as it was?
We didn't plan to record that. We were in the studio and we were going to work on something else. And then Daniel came up with the riff. And then we just went with that because it just felt like the right thing to do. And so we wrote that and mixed it and finished it in like 8 hours in the studio.
Wow.
And when it was done, we felt like we had a winner. We didn't realize it'd be such a big winner.
Mm-hmm.
But we were very pleased with the way it turned out.
Absolutely, I can see why. And so you put that out, and you put out No Big Deal came out after that, and that's really when I started listening to your music and started compiling the Love and Rockets albums and stuff like that. I actually didn't get into start listening to Bauhaus until after that. Mm-hmm. And I just have one question about your reunion tour that you did, and that was at Coachella, and then for several dates, if not all the dates on the tour, the singer Peter Murphy hung upside down when he was singing Bela Lugosi's Dead. Whose idea was that for him to hang upside down and sing that song?
That was Peter's idea, but he only did it that once.
Okay, so he didn't do it any other time.
No. And he had very interesting esoteric reasons for doing that. It wasn't just like to resemble a bat.
Okay.
He went into this whole sort of alchemical process of that being the inverted man and how that represents in alchemy the penultimate stage of transformation. It's the stage of putrescence, like putrefaction before the base material is finally transformed into spiritual gold.
Mm-hmm.
So he had this whole,
wow,
you know, esoteria going on, you know. And physically that was very, very challenging. I mean, it's challenging just to hang upside down, let alone sing like that, you know.
Sure.
So he would train like every day. Every day we would come into the rehearsal room and he'd be hanging upside down in the broom closet.
You being on stage with him, were you nervous? You know, were you afraid that something could happen? I mean, that seems definitely a kind of a different vibe on stage with a live band.
We were always afraid of something happening, not just that event. But that was, you know, there was always that edge to Bauhaus.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, let me ask you two more questions. First off, you said you're doing about a week-long tour on the East Coast. What are you doing? What do you have coming up when you get back to California?
I'm recording a new album, so I'm recording some tracks for that, mm-hmm. and then I go to Europe for an extensive tour throughout the winter with a different band.
Do you know who the band's going to be?
The opener. Mm-hmm. There's different openers in different cities, but it's right across Europe. We go to the UK as well.
All right. Excellent. And so I had one other question that a fellow DJ wanted me to ask you, and it's the inevitable reunion question. Are the Bubble Men coming back?
The Bubble Men are always coming back.
it's a perpetual reunion.
Yes, they are eternal spirits. They burn very brightly and will do so forever.
Well, David, I really have to thank you for joining us here at WRIR and speaking with us this evening. And you're performing tonight down at Fallout with Adrian H. and the Wounds. And that show starts around 9 o'clock. I think doors open. Mm. Before we go, I do want to just reiterate the newest album is Not Long for This World. And I want to play a track from it before we go this evening. David, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you. And I recommend that everybody gets there early to see Adrian H. and the Wounds play their own set because they are a terrific band.
Outstanding.
They were on fire last night in New York.
All right. So that is tonight at Fallout. That's down in Chaco Bottom, all right, on 18th Street. So this is off of David Jay's record, Not Long for This World. This is the title track on WRIR.
We're not long for this.